We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast presented by WinBet. It is Friday, October 8th, 2021. Alex Baruthi here with Ken K-Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
And special guest, ESPN Fantasy Basketball Analyst Andre Snellings. Welcome, Andre.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We should say welcome back, as Andre used to be a RotoWire contributor.
It's always good to visit home. It's like a family reunion.
Fabulous.
We are only 11 days away from the start of the NBA season. So a reminder to be fully prepared for your basketball draft with RotoWire's complete draft kit. Of course, visit ESPN. They have plenty of great stuff as well that Andre is a part of. Today's format for the show, we're going to jump into the news very quickly. There's not a ton since it's the preseason. Our main topic is going to be some players we think are overrated for the upcoming fantasy season, or at least being drafted too early is one way to put it. Handful of preseason updates. Last night, Jalen Green in Houston against the Miami Heat, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, only 2 turnovers in 28 minutes. And we also had Steven Adams go for back-to-back double-doubles for his new team in Memphis. Last night, he had 15 and 16. Against the Hornets, who were without Mason Plumlee, but still typical Steven Adams stuff.
PJ Washington trying to play center there. Yeah.
Dre, this Houston team has a lot of names on it. You have Christian Wood, Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green. I guess in general, what is your kind of read of what to do with some of those guys in fantasy?
Yeah, I'm bullish on all of these Rockets because, like we saw last season, they're going full on youth mode. Last season, they had the veterans playing for a while, and then eventually they all faded out for one reason or another. And you saw the Porters and even the Kelly Olynyks of the world come in and really put up some huge numbers. This season, they just skipped the middleman. They said, let's talk the wall and get him out the way before the season starts. And we're just going all young guys all the time. So, I mean, whether it's Porter, Jalen Green, every starter that they have on their team, I think they're going to run them out there for as much as they can and really try to maximize them.
The one confusing player on this squad, and by confusing, I mean the team's timeline, I don't quite get Daniel Theis on this roster. Love Theis. Yeah. Think he's an awesome big reserve for a contender. I don't know where he fits with the youth movement.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I see what you're saying with that. It feels like Theis has the feeling of a guy that they're like, well, we want to have a culture guy, a guy that's going to come in and help our young guys to be professional and things of that nature. And I mean, we mentioned Olynyk a second ago. He was a veteran as well. And I think he was just somebody that they were like, well, we have to have 5 guys to play. And with injuries, they needed to put somebody out there. But I could kind of see Theis getting that type of run where he plays more minutes than he's used to playing just because they like what he brings to the court and they like what he does for the young guys. And so I could see him. I actually projected him to have, you know, the probably the best statistical season of his career, even though he doesn't really fit in with what you would expect with all of these other 19 and 20 year olds.
Yeah, he's been a great pick and pop option for them in the preseason. And I think they just kind of want some floor spacing bigs out there to let those young guards get to work. Some other quick news hits. We had Buddy Hield coming off the bench for the Kings. Trevor Ariza underwent ankle surgery. He's out at least 8 weeks. Al Horford is going to play in back-to-backs. And we had Golden State rookie Jonathan Kuminga suffer a strained patella tendon on his knee. He's out for the remainder of the preseason, regular season debut kind of to be determined. Do any of those things, I got Ken, I'll kick it to you. Do any of those, which of those things stick out to you?
Well, Ariza doesn't stick out. The Lakers are so surprisingly deep. Certainly hate to see him and get hurt. I do wonder what the Kings' long-term plan is with Buddy Hield. Hield was complaining a lot about coming off the bench last season. I can't imagine he's happy with that development now. He's the first name that pops up in all those King trade rumors. Certainly he's going to be in Philly if they can ever agree on something with Simmons. So to me, while I love Hield's outside shooting and think he's a natural fit on a lot of teams, it seems like the relationship there is souring. And if he's with Sacramento for a long time, I worry he's not going to get the minutes he deserves.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look back through the old ESPN trade articles, the where should Ben Simmons be traded, Sacramento was my pick. And Buddy Hield was the centerpiece of that deal. I mean, he makes sense. His shooting would be way more effective on the Timberwolves than it can be on the Kings.
Dre, are you saying that Buddy Hield's a better outside shooter than Ben Simmons?
I am saying that, and I also I'm going out on a limb, but I also just said on the Timberwolves, which is a Freudian slip. So I guess that's the other team that they're talking about trading Simmons to. But yeah, obviously Hield would fit on those 76ers as a shooter much better than Simmons. Then it just becomes about talent matching. I in my suggestion, I had guys like either Halliburton or Marvin Bagley, you know, packaging them together. But Hield would be the centerpiece of whatever Ben Simmons deal that might happen. And I agree. He's always the player whose name is mentioned is potentially leaving Sacramento. And I think there's a good reason for that.
Well, and while we're on the topic of Sacramento, Dre, in your article yesterday on ESPN, where you were talking about sleepers, you listed Marvin Bagley first.
I did.
Want to elaborate on why you think Marvin is a big sleeper?
Yeah, because, you know, I went back and well, a few things. I tend to have Bagley on at least one team every season. And so every year when he has that stretch where he goes 20 and 10 for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and you start saying, oh, this is why he was the number two overall pick. And then, you know, another injury happens or something happens that takes him off his stride. But you see the potential, you know, you see what the possibilities are. And again, he was a number two overall pick in a draft that gave us Luka, that gave us Trae Young, that gave us DeAndre Ayton, that gave us, you know, like seven fantasy all-stars. And him, and Bagley, you know, and, you know, he has the talent. He just has not been able to stay healthy. But none of his injuries have been like the type of injury that would debilitate you. You know, they all seem to be an injury and then a different injury. And so it's possible that he's injury prone, but it's also possible that he's still only like, what, 22 years old. So if he's ever able to put a full healthy season together, he has a lot of upside. And that article was about players you could draft at the end of the draft. So these are guys you can get with your 10th, 11th, 12th round pick. I figure that kind of upside, I might take a chance on there.
I do like Bagley this season. It's a do or die season for him. You know, it's his last year of his rookie deal. I'm sure the Kings would like to have him around if he plays better. There's just a lot of factors that lead into it. I agree with you, Dre. The annual NBA general manager survey came out this week for top breakout player, who I suppose is this could be relevant in fantasy too. They voted what? Number one, Jaren Jackson Jr. with 17% of the votes. Anthony Edwards with 13% of the votes and Michael Porter Jr. with 10% of the votes. I think this pretty much all tracks with sort of the fantasy community. I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. is going in the 40s in some drafts. Edwards,
where is
going,
the Time Lord? Where is the Time Lord?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think that maybe
that'll be Robert Williams for the non-Celtic fans listening.
I don't know if that nickname is mainstream enough.
It is in New England, but I don't know about outside New England. Yeah.
Dre, which one of those guys sticks out to you the most?
So it's interesting because I almost, outside of Jaren Jackson Jr. because he's been injured, the other two I feel like already broke out. I mean, you know, like Anthony Edwards. I mean, obviously he was a rookie, but he was the number one overall pick and really probably should have been the rookie of the year. So yes, it tracks the he should be better as a sophomore. And Michael Porter Jr. was a monster last year, especially after, you know, he's been a monster each of the last 2 years after Jamal Murray went down. So I would agree that those are guys that could play really well. And if we're going to call them breakouts, you know, I like all of those picks. Jaren Jackson Jr., especially because of his injuries, it's kept him from, he's a lot like Bagley, right? You know, and even they're the same draft class. Like the injuries have kept him from being what he could be. So I would agree that all three of those are guys that could step up. My personal breakout player that I've been all over this year is Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Like from the time that last season, actually before that, from like the Vegas Summer League, his rookie year, I felt like that guy had game. And so I even put a few bucks on him to win Rookie of the Year when I was at that Summer League, because I was like, if he ever gets on the court, he can play. And he didn't get on the court as a rookie. But then as a sophomore, he got on the court. And the very first time he got on the court, he dropped like 35-8 or something. And, you know, he had several of those type of games in his 15 or 20 starts last year. So now that it's looking like he's going to get the minutes, I'm going to have a lot of shares of him on my team.
I agree. Yeah. Alexander Walker is someone we love here at RotoWire in general. He's been killing it in preseason, firing up a ton of shots. He's been passing really well. He's got good length. He can shoot right over people. So excited about that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The NBA Fantasy Leagues, they're live on ESPN, Dre. Can you tell us about just some cool features you have on the site this season, or at least in drafts?
It's always the exciting time of the year when the seasons are tipping off. On ESPN's fantasy, really where I personally enjoy the most are the head-to-head weekly points-based leagues. Most of my rankings and a lot of my analysis deals with those leagues. They're able to kind of draw in people that might be into more of the fantasy football style scoring as opposed to my other love, the Roto or Roto head-to-head, which you have to maybe be a little bit more involved with, especially if you're in a daily transaction league. But the weekly head-to-head points leagues are really popular, and so that's the default in ESPN. So if you come in and give it a try, you can really see what it might be like to enjoy this game on a more casual, fun level before you really dig in and get in with the nerds like us.
Yeah, whenever my friends want me to join a fantasy league, or I try to get people to join a fantasy league, they're just, you know, my friends in real life, like casual people, they always want to do points leagues, always want to do head to head because it's like fantasy football, and they're used to the ESPN format from playing ESPN fantasy football all the time. So that's really helpful to do. Before we jump into our overrated players, we have a quick word from our sponsor, WynnBET. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast.
All right, Alex, thank you for that read. Excellent timing for today's fan question. We are at the fan feedback segment of the pod because we've got Andre right here to suggest some names. So RotoWire fan Anthony George wants Dre to suggest some points league specific sleepers, a few players that are a good match for the ESPN points league format. Dre, you mentioned Bagley. Who else do you have?
I like TJ Warren. I liked TJ Warren last year because I had just watched him destroy the bubble, average some Jordan-esque 35-ish points a game. And then once the next season started, he immediately was injured and never really got to follow up on it. I'm not expecting to put up bubble numbers this season, but we know that's in there, that talent's there. And the Pacers are a deep squad. But again, we're talking players that are going at the end of drafts. So TJ Warren's one I like to have.
Must think he's coming back sooner than later from that foot issue, from the foot surgery.
Yeah, I mean, he had the surgery, you know, a significant period of time ago. And he's still recovering, and they're thinking he might miss the first month of the season. But in most leagues, you have an injured list. If you've got a relatively deep bench, being able to sit a player for, you know, a month, maybe even 2 months in a really long season doesn't bother me so much, as long as he comes back at all. And so, again, we're talking about taking flyers on people. I like Warren. We mentioned Kelly Olynyk earlier, too, back in his Rockets days. Well, now he's a Piston. But after his glow up with the Rockets last season, the Pistons brought him in, and it does not appear that he's going to start, but he appears to be their sixth man at both big men spots. And so I think he's going to get enough minutes to outplay his ADP, which is at the very end of drafts, if he's being drafted at all. Another former Piston, now he's moved on to Charlotte, is Mason Plumlee, another big man. I really like what he's able to do. He's when with minutes, he's a walking low double-double, but he's also got some versatility. He can pass the ball surprisingly well. So if he's the pick setter in the pick and roll and they give him the rock back, like the Pistons did a lot last season, he was able to average about 4 assists a game in that role. And I think he'll be able to do that in Charlotte, as well as finish a lot easier playing off of one of the ball boys. So I never thought about what a ball boy sounded like, but yeah, playing off of LaMelo Ball. I think that he could put up some good stats as well, especially for a guy you could pick with your last pick.
All right. Thank you, Dre. And for fans, if you want us to answer your question, please go to RotoWire's YouTube video, like a video, and just leave a question on any of the basketball videos. Don't put it on the football ones, but leave a question on any of the more recent basketball videos, and we'll pick one for next week's pod.
All right, let's jump into our main topic, which is overrated players in fantasy, guys who are being drafted too early. You can find ADPs for various sites on the RotoWire website. If you go to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Rankings and you click the site specific, so CBS, click ESPN, click Yahoo, and that will show the ADPs alongside, like right next to our current rank, so you can kind of get a nice side by side. My first name, and I'll keep this relatively brief, people have heard me riff on this for like a month now, Nikola Vucevic, who's being drafted around 16 on average. I just don't like his move to Chicago for his individual production. In Orlando, he was the man every single night. He was the clear-cut best player on the team. They were force-feeding him the ball. I don't think that will be the focus in Chicago. I think LaVine, DeRozan, Ball, all those guys are going to get their shots. This is going to be a team that's going to run out in transition. I don't know how many post touches Vucevic is going to get. I just think it's more likely he averages something like 16-9 or 16-10 compared to like 25-12 like he was doing last season. Ken, yeah. Who is your first overrated player?
First of all, I agree with you on Vucevic. Also, his shot blocks have been declining each of the last 3 years. Never a great shot blocker to start with, which at center is tough. But my first one, a big name, Anthony Davis. Just because of the injury concern. They've always been a concern with Davis. He only played 36 games last year due to knee, groin, shoulder, abductor, and other injuries. I frankly got too tired of looking up each of them. They've also added Russell Westbrook. So really, they can rotate their three stars. Frankly, I don't know how meaningful the regular season is to these Lakers. It's all about their playoff run. I don't think they're going to care if they're the fourth, fifth, sixth seed. So I see Davis getting a lot of rest. Westbrook's going to allow them to do that. And in addition to Russ, this Lakers team actually has depth for the first time in a while. So I think I just don't see them having to push Davis. I think they'd be foolish to push Davis on monster minutes. I think they're going to be quite happy with guys like Dwight Howard getting big minutes at the five off the bench. So at an ADP of 12, I'm just not buying Anthony Davis in the first round.
Dre, who is on your list?
Yeah, I'll actually switch up my order a little bit so I can piggyback on what Ken just said, because number one on this list for me today will be LeBron James. For a lot of the reasons that the Ken just named, LeBron is still, in my opinion, strongly in the argument for best overall player in the NBA, but he's missed major time two of the last three seasons. Father Time is undefeated, and LeBron is getting long of the tooth when it comes to NBA years. But on top of that, they did bring in Russell Westbrook in part to, you know, be added talent to the team, but in part to take some of the pressure off of LeBron. Like, he's been the one player, even when the Lakers won the championship, that even more than Anthony Davis, like, he was the one that if he left the court for any reason, then everything crashed. And it was because he was the one that was creating all of the offense. Well, he's not going to have to create all the offense this year. They brought in Westbrook for that. They brought in Westbrook to be an energy source. So I think LeBron will still be LeBron when he wants to be. I think he will want to be more in the playoffs than in the regular season. And so be it the potential for missed games, be it, you know, the fact that he's just not carrying the same load. I think him going even as high as 13 in these leagues is a little bit too high.
Well, maybe there's some similarities here with the issues of the stars in Chicago and the stars in L.A. There's only one ball. You can't design, you know, you can't have everyone dominate the ball and have it go through their hands. And so we're just going to see who takes the hits. Though I think in LA, it's different in that they're just going to rest guys. They got so much age and injury issues. Kendrick Nunn is going to get some crazy minutes, I think, for this Lakers squad.
But, there's some hype about Malik Monk as well.
Yeah, Malik Monk.
The Lakers fans are anyway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They've got depth. They have depth. All right, Alex, give us a non-Laker.
I guess this is just the big market overrated podcast. I'm going Kemba Walker on the Knicks. ADP of 70 right now.
I just hurt my knee even hearing about Kemba Walker. Ow.
You know, on the surface, you see 70 and you're like, that's not a bad spot for Kemba, right? But he only ranked 59th per game last season. So you're kind of assuming that he's both healthier than last season and he maybe plays better. I'm not really sure that's the case. Something we haven't been able to say about the Knicks in years past is that they have good depth and they have a lot of playmakers on their team, which is surprising, especially at guard. They have too many guards to even keep track of. I just don't think Kemba's worth the pick or worth the risk at pick 70. If you're in a daily lineup league, that's a little different. But in a weekly lineup league, I would just be worried about him sitting, him hurting his knee, et cetera.
Well, his big fantasy years in Charlotte, he was hands down the number one scoring option, and that's Julius Randle with the Knicks this year, right? And even with Boston or Charlotte, his assist numbers were never high-end point guard assist numbers.
Right. Who's the next guy? Speaking of high-end point guard assist numbers, who's the next guy on your list, Ken?
Oh, well, Russell Westbrook. But maybe we've gone down that path of beating up the Lakers too much or / applauding them for having depth. So I'll just bring up Kyrie. How the heck are people drafting Kyrie in the mid 20s? That's insane. He could miss every home game plus all their games at New York, plus their one game in Golden State. He's a huge injury risk, even without the vaccination issues and laws. I just want no part of Kyrie unless he drops to the 8th round.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. I just it's hard to know what to think of it. Oh, ideally, your draft is as late as possible and we get some sort of clarity on it. That's the only way I feel comfortable, like, you know, kind of with that situation. But who knows?
Like, we're only 11 days away. I don't know. Like, I realize he only has to take the initial shot, but he doesn't strike me as he's dug himself a pretty big hole here. Dre, what's your prediction with Kyrie this year?
I never, ever, 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 ever make predictions on Kyrie, except for the one that you just made that he probably won't be on any of my fantasy teams. And that was true long before COVID was a thing. You know, he, you know, as you pointed out, he misses a lot of time every year, and he's not in his second or third season like we talked about with guys like Jaren Jackson Jr. or Marvin Bagley. Like, this is he's had like a 10-year career of missing 30 games a year. So. Yeah. I don't know how the COVID is going to play out. It feels like it's such a big situation on a team that everybody thinks can win the championship. You know, the whole Kevin Durant has gone to bat for him angle. You would think that if he's going to play in the NBA anymore, he would eventually get this shot and move forward, because this is the best opportunity that he'll ever have to win a championship as one of the core guys. You know, ever again, but you know, my dude has he's strong. He's strong willed. You know, people say what they want about him. He got a strong will. You know,
the positive take on this is I am shocked that a bunch of my best ball leagues, I've been able to get James Harden with the 4th pick. Like, I can't believe he's falling there. I think it's going to be serious increased ball handling for Harden. His assist numbers are going to return to his Houston days. Kyrie's absence is going to create more shots for – they've got plenty of stars, so the other stars will get plenty of shots.
Dre, give us another overrated player for fantasy.
Yeah, again, I'll stick with the teams that we're talking about and the biggest names. I've got Kevin Durant is overrated in fantasy. When ESPN did their top 100 players list a week or two ago, I did the write-up for Durant as the number one overall player. And so I can see the argument for him is one of the best real life players in the league. But fantasy wise, again, he only played like 35 games last year in his first season back after that horrible Achilles injury. And he was amazing when he played, but there's just no impetus, as far as I could tell, for him to play anywhere near 82 games. Even if there's no injury, no health risk, I'm feeling a Kawhi-like load management schedule where he might sit every four game. I have no inside information on that, but that's just, to me, that makes the most sense. And I had Durant and LeBron actually as the 1-2 players on one of my favorite leagues last season. And early on, it was beautiful, but by my month two or three, my season was over. And so I don't want to rely on any player whose focus is so heavily on the postseason and who's so advanced in their careers and who's got the injury history that it just doesn't really make sense for the team to put them out there for a grind of the marathon for enough consistency to be effective on fantasy teams, especially for somebody going in the first round ADP.
Yeah, he's a hard guy to trust given the age, the injury history. I don't think I could draft Durant in the first round. I mean, maybe 12. It's tough because you get down to 12 and a lot of times Embiid is sitting there and then Durant could be sitting there. And it's a tough spot to draft, actually. Last guy on my list, Julius Randle, sticking with the Knicks theme. I don't think his ADP of 23 is awful. I think I'd be okay if I got him there. But he ranked 26th per game last season, so that kind of assumes improvement. I think his numbers are going to take a small step back. Maybe he's more efficient, especially from the field. He doesn't have to take as many shots, but I could certainly see his assists decrease with Kemba there, with Fournier there. Burks is there. Barrett's probably going to make strides as a player or at least a playmaker. So I think there's kind of a route for Randle's numbers to, if he finished in the 30s or even the, I guess, low 40s, that would not surprise me. So I just wouldn't draft him at 23. But
we know Tibbs loves to play his starters until their knees bleed. But, man, Randle at 37.6 minutes a game last year was just insane. At some point, they have to trust Obi Toppin a little, right? Like, this team has depth. Save Randle for the playoffs. I'm not sure Tibbs will, but you got to think his minutes are going to go down. I'm with you on the assists. And I just don't think the ball is going to be in his hand as much because you've got legitimate guards. They did not have legitimate guards last year.
Dre, who is last on your overrated players list?
Yeah, sticking with the Knicks theme, but it was former Knick. Kristaps Porzingis. I just, he's going in the 40s, ADP of 47. In my rankings, which are based off of my projections, I have him in the 70s. Again, we've talked a lot about injury risks, and I just can't project him to play enough minutes to justify being a fourth or fifth round fantasy draft pick. And in addition to that, he's got the kind of weird headbutting thing sometimes with Luka Doncic where, you'll see.
He's not as good.
Well, that part. But you'll see him go for like 30 and 13 one game, and then the next game, like his series in the playoffs where he averaged 13 points because he just wasn't getting shots. Like they had him posted in the corner like he was a 3-and-D big as opposed to, the unicorn. So I'm not sure that his usage would ever maximize him in Dallas. I don't think that that's best for the Mavericks. And then when you add in his injury risks, he just slides down my board.
Yeah. Ken, any last words on the overrated players topic?
Well, we've dived into a lot of big names. I'm going to go a lot further down the ADP chart to talk about two centers that when you amalgamate the Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS leagues together are actually right next to each other at 131 and 132 is Al Horford and Blake Griffin. And I find it appalling that anyone would consider Big Al as low as Blake Griffin right now. Big Al's going to get monster minutes whether or not he starts versus Robert Williams, the Time Lord. One, Williams gets hurt all the time. And they, two, they're going to want Horford playing against Embiid. He was an Embiid stopper his first run with the Celtics. Three, they don't really have a legitimate power forward backup for Tatum either. Semi Ojeleye's in Milwaukee. So I see Horford getting minutes at the 4-2. The flip of this is Blake Griffin is one of like two dozen ancient centers in Brooklyn. Paul Millsap is, they're going to wheel him out. LaMarcus Aldridge, who, all jokes aside, I hope stays healthy all year just for his personal health. And then actually a really good young up-and-comer in Nicholas Claxton. I don't know why they give Griffin more than 15 minutes a game, but I just had to stand up for Big Al there. I just find that appalling.
I'm actually surprised with your love for the Time Lord. I thought you were going to say Al was overrated being in the 130s.
Because... No, I think a fine strategy is getting both those guys. And Time Lord's blocks per minute are going to be crazy. He could lead the league in blocks per game. But I think Horford's going to see a ton of time off the bench and when Williams is hurt. And, you know, when Williams does get hurt for a week or two, Horford's your starting center and you're psyched.
Before we wrap this thing up, we have a quick word from Yahoo. The new NFL season has been underway, and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There will be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free because they banned me specifically. To celebrate the beginning of football season in Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has a $1 million DFS football contest live. The $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and an entry to the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Not too far away from you, Ken. I think they know that you're going to be joining those contests. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started. Ken, now it's time for your old man rant.
Games are on too late. Please start all sport events at 7 p.m. Eastern time. I can barely make it through 9 innings. Forget extra innings. Jeez, I can't afford all this bourbon. Maybe we should cut all NBA games just to 3/4. How are kids supposed to become fans with all these late night contests? When my beloved Celtics hit the West Coast, I turn into a zombie creature unable to function until noon each day. Please start games earlier.
I can tell that that's an East Coast related rant.
Horrible East Coast bias there. Yes, absolutely.
I don't think we mispronounced any names. This podcast kept it pretty simple. So Ken, let's close things out with a quote.
Yeah, let's go to Los Angeles, where this week Clipper Terrence Mann was asked how he felt about being picked in this summer's general manager survey as a, quote, top breakout candidate. Mann said, quote, you said GMs, the ones that didn't draft me, 48th pick? I don't care about that, S-H-I-T. Hey, Dre, thank you very much for joining us this week on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Hopefully we can get you during the season.
Thanks for having me. It's always good to come home, like I said. This time of year, I'm underwater with fantasy content. So anybody wants to see what I'm up to, come to ESPN.com Fantasy or ESPN.com NBA. And this season, we'll be doing lots of gambling content as well. So whatever you're looking for, we got what you need.
Fantastic. We look forward to seeing you on the TV as well on ESPN. Attention passengers, this three-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line.